Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Academy podcast, where we sit down with leaders, business leaders, thought strategists, those that are thinking about leadership strategies and how to apply them in the business world, how to handle people, how to handle business startups, everything that you'd need to know as far as making sure that you're being successful in the business world and that you're thinking about the future and thinking strategically about your business, thinking strategically about leadership, how you lead, become a better leader. I'm AJ Willamy, and our show is sponsored by Titan Media Works. They are the easy button for your podcast production needs. So if you need to get a podcast going, they're the ones that can help you do it and make it as easy as possible. So moving on here with the Leadership Podcast today, we get the privilege of having Maggie Dillon join us. Maggie has 15 plus years in business strategy operations across all industries. Currently, she serves as the Chief Strategy Officer for Crisp LLC, which is a cybersecurity research and development firm that's based in the DC, Virginia, and Maryland markets. And she's also a strategic partner and podcast host of her own with CyberBytes Foundation, better known as the Quantico Cyber Tech Hub. So you check that out as well. Maggie, she also has co-authored a number one international best-selling book on cybersecurity, Hacked 2, which is the follow-up to Hacked. And we're going to talk a little bit about that book and as well. And it's drawing on experiences from her cybersecurity consulting firm, Empress Security Insights. Additionally, Maggie's also served on the Advisory Council for Executive Women in Leadership Program at George Washington University's School of Business. And her professional career began in executive recruiting in the DoD ranks of industry leaders, such as Lockheed Martin. That's quite an impressive, you know, history of experience that you've got here, Maggie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. That's such a mouthful. I need to cut it down. But, you know, I've been in so many different areas, and it's sometimes I only share about this much depending on who I'm talking to. So especially with your audience, there's so many different kinds of leaders out there. It's just best to kind of throw it all in the sink and let it stick.
Exactly. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So let's start off. Tell us just a little bit about what you're involved with right now and what kind of got you into the place and what you're doing for other people.
Absolutely. Well, currently you mentioned it right out the gate. We'll start off with the CyberBytes Foundation. This is probably my newest venture. In a public level, I've been working behind the scenes for about 10 months now with them. They are a nonprofit based out of Stafford, Virginia, just south of the Quantico base. And they are a cybersecurity tech hub. This organization has been in operations, I believe, for going on 6 years now. And I had told you before we hit the record button, one of my favorite things about it, and maybe this is a nerdy thing to say, but I love the aesthetics. It looks like an X-Men cave. I don't know how else to explain it. It's a big black steel building with the X on the front of it. And Cesar Nadar is the founder, him and Brian DeMuth, both amazing gentlemen. Cesar's a retired Marine officer. And the outreach that this organization is doing, not just with the community in the region, but we're going eventually global, obviously here in the United States for the Americans, but building out the cybersecurity ranks, and we need some serious help. There's a deficit right now of 3.5 million cybersecurity people, and we need students and to just outreach. So with CyberBytes, we are looking in education, innovation, and outreach. Those are our three areas of expertise. So to give context, that first floor of the building is education. You come in, we teach you everything we can. We help people get certified. We do a lot of events. There's an amazing cafe there on the floor. Great opportunity for networking, working with the kids in the area, the school districts, a lot of virtual courses, a lot of on-prem courses, things of that nature. That is run by Dr. Frederick White. The second level is the American Cyber League. And that is a lab floor. That's where the innovation takes place. So really cool things. And I mean, cool. For instance, they have a lab right now that's testing to keep Wi-Fi on via the lights. So if a grid goes out, light source can keep the Wi-Fi on. These are the types of innovations that are being examined and worked on this second floor, which we are looking for members and partners and donations and sponsors. So there's that little plug. But on the third floor, that's our outreach and just working out partnerships strategically. We've got other two directors would be Amanda and also Joe. I'm partnering with all of these people. I'm so impressed with their staff and to the mention, I am going to be their podcast host and that is officially launching on April 1st. So this is the prequel to the launch and what a better place to be than here with you. So that would probably be the newest and latest and greatest.
That's awesome. It's interesting. You talk about the Wi-Fi keeping it on with the lights. It reminds me of the Christmas movie called The Office. I don't know if you've, or Office Party.
Yes.
And that's what they did. It was all about having internet come on throughout the electric grid, yes. I guess.
All sorts of secret stuff that we're not technically supposed to talk about. That was the one that I was like, now that's genius, you know? So pretty excited about it. And I think that as we build out, we basically were a hub, not just for those three areas that I talked about, but we do a lot of facilitating for grants and federal contracts with all levels of government and military. And that's really plays into the veteran aspect of it. We are a huge veteran supporters. And so just everything about the organization as a whole, I'm so proud to be a part of it and just so proud of the team because it's a very well-oiled machine because of the mission. Everyone's there because of the mission and that's what I love.
Oh, that's awesome. So if someone wanted to get involved in it, maybe they've got a kid that's a son or a daughter that's out in the area. How would they get in contact with that?
So go to www.cyberbytesfoundation.org. Bytes is with a Y. That's probably the easiest way. It talks about the Cyber Academy, the American Cyber League, as well as some of the other things that we're doing today. Actually, they're doing a Capture the Flag event where they're testing hackers' knowledge for bragging rights and trophies to see who can do the best hacking. So we've also got other events coming up. They've got a lot of things, especially for quarter two, that we're going to be pushing out. And that will all be posted on various platforms as well. But all the advertising for everything they've got going on event-wise is there on their website.
Oh, that's cool. So, all right. Well, tell you what, let's dive a little bit into the book. So Hacked 2, which is actually the follow-up from Hacked. So tell us a little bit about the book, what it's about, who it's kind of written towards, and what are some of the concepts that you're covering?
Let me see it with my virtual background. Let me hold it up here. So first off, shout out to Albert Whale. Albert is the guru behind this entire series. It's actually a 3-book series. He wrote the first one, which was #Hacked1, basically an introduction into him, his expertise, his background in cybersecurity. He himself is an amazing subject matter expert on cybersecurity out of the Pittsburgh market. That's where I met him. We are very good friends. He owns a company called IT Security Solutions. I'm actually their fractional COO at this time. So we've worked together on a lot of different projects and products and validations and things of this nature. So I had gotten into a mastermind group with him. He invited me in and I'm not afraid to talk about it because we have to. There are only 19% of women that make up the cybersecurity industry. And so when he invited me, it was solely to start. He's probably saying, I don't know if I did the right thing. He said, hey, I need a woman to sit in this group. I've got a bunch of gentlemen, startup cybersecurity owners in this group. Would you come? I said, absolutely. So over the next few years, I got to know everybody. And Albert said, you know what? Why don't we all write a book together? So this publication, #Hacked2, is actually Albert taking the lead and then 12 other authors. We each took a chapter. And I wrote chapter 6, which was called Selling Cyber, really looking on the marketing, business development, and sales side of the cybersecurity industry. Because let me tell you, it's a totally different ballgame from any other industry. And it's the only industry that's in every industry. Every single industry, if you think about it, healthcare, manufacturing, fintech, investment, all of it needs cybersecurity protection, right? And so the book is a fantastic book to read because you get so many different types of opinions and expertise and stories from 13 different, you know, subject matter experts in this book. And it really, it's a practical guidance for dealing with threats to your business and privacy. So it really does a great job of encompassing that. Lo and behold, unbeknownst to us, it ended up going number one international bestseller in four countries after we launched it. So it's number one in the United States, Canada, India, and Mexico. So it was a great opportunity. I was the only female on that book. I'm really proud of it. And one of my key lines with it is, let's get more females into this because we need your help too. And I love the dynamic of men and women working in business because there's so many gaps that we see about each other. And when we are able to have direct conversations and work through those leadership development matters, it goes a long way for overall business success. So there's the book club. You can find it on Amazon.
So who would you say the book is specifically written to? Those that want to get into cybersecurity or business owners or both?
Both. Younger generations, teenagers, anyone looking to get in the cybersecurity industry. We've used this as actual curriculum for universities. We are plugging it in different seminars. I actually just spoke to Purdue Global not too long ago regarding some of the things in here, but also business owners. I mean, this is a great how-to for startup companies or for people who have owned many companies or enterprises. It's a really good kind of overview. And Albert did just release a third book called Getting Unhacked that operates from a little bit more of the psychological aspect and operations with regards to business. So it's a great series from start to finish. It is a three-part. We're the middle book with the hashtag number or hacked number two.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, and you know what? That is something that is actually an area a lot of people don't think about. They think maybe they're too small, even for some of the smaller businesses, that, oh, no one's going to go mess with me. And they're looking for the very large corporations is what the concept is. I would assume that is totally wrong.
There's nails on the chalkboard. Yes. Small businesses are one of the most targeted because of that exact perception. So, you know, it's interesting because over the years, I've talked to some of the bigger companies, you know, multi-million, billion-dollar portfolios. And cybersecurity historically has always been looked at as kind of an insurance. You know, do we have to have it? Okay, maybe not. But what about when you get a ransomware and you've got hackers saying, give us $6 million or all your data is gone tomorrow? Plus, hacking all of your clients and customers, which is now going to transfer over and the wheel and the dominoes just start going. So from a small business aspect, obviously the cheaper route if you're a startup company would be to go with an MSP, managed service provider service, which is going to be managing all of your IT, your networks, your hardware, software, things of that nature. A lot of those managed service providers are also huge targets because they have a portfolio of, you know, anywhere from 50 to thousands of clients that they're open, you know, working those smaller to medium sized businesses. You hack an MSP, boom, think of the grid that goes down, right? So cybersecurity, you know, it starts from a top level, but it really has to start at the bottom as well and filter through in a very organic way because it's a lot of people don't know what they don't know. The education part in this industry is huge. And so that's part of the reason why I linked up with Cyberbytes, but also, you know, working with organizations like we mentioned in the intro, I'm working for CRISP. CRISP is a research and intelligence solutions provider. We really specialize in education and workshops. We do workshops in many facets of cybersecurity with certified trainers. We can do that on a national and global scale, but really looking at the fine print. What's the research? There's not a whole lot out there because everything's happening so fast. So it's hard to keep up with this industry and then pump it back in to the public at real time.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so let's real quick, because I know what we talk here is a lot of leadership strategies, but also strategies business leaders can be thinking about as far as in their business. And cybersecurity actually is something to make sure that you are paying attention to whenever you've got a business. And I have been a part and seen, you know, other companies that I've worked with and alongside and helped that have actually come through this same sort of thing that they thought that they were, you know, oh, no one's going to bother me. No one's going to touch me on this. And then lo and behold, they wake up one day and find that their systems have been hacked. Everything's offline and they've got a bill for $3 million to pay to get their stuff back. And they're like, what do we do? So what would your advice be for those that first is like, worst case scenario, you get hacked, something like that happens. What happens there? I know the very first thing for a lot of small businesses is they're thinking, crap, I'm out of business. I'm done. I can't afford to pay this. I'm not going to pay it. What, you know, so I just got to close up shop or start totally over. What's your advice? What do they do?
Absolutely. I would suggest if you have not started your organization, this needs to be an absolute part of your business plan. I do a lot of tech portfolio advisement, and this is always something that I suggest from the very beginning. If you've already started and you don't really have it, there's a few different things that you can do. Obviously, again, kind of going back to those MSPs, interview them on their security practices and research what questions to ask on the front end. I always say if you can't afford a cybersecurity company, which you'd be surprised, they're pretty, if you get a good one, they'll work with you on payments and things of this nature. And a lot of times the MSPs are so inundated, they're not able to keep up always. But I would say, look at who your vendors are. Ask them a very particular list of questions. If you don't know the questions, I'm always here to help people. I love to help people. And if you don't know what you don't know. But the other thing that I would suggest is this. Do not ever think it can't happen to you. All it takes is one executive to open a phishing email and everything is compromised. We just heard about a hospital closing down from things like this. A hospital system closed down because of hackers, you know, just as much as the mom and pop shop on the corner. So it's a huge deal. And I think that, you know, depending on the size, and this is something that we work with as far as solutions go, it's actually a fire drill methodology that I had come up with. If you're already an established company or a small to medium size, run a fire drill. And I say this because of insurance purposes. So basically what you would do, and there's a lot of different angles that you could do this, is it's kind of same as like a tornado drill or a fire drill in school when you're a kid, right? You prepare for what could happen. Okay, we got hacked. We've got a ransom attack going on. Who's the first person that's notified? Who do they notify? What is the chain of command? What operations are already in place? Does the insurance company get a call? Do the police get a call? Who, you know, there has to be some type of operations in place for when this stuff happens, not if, when this stuff happens. If the grid goes down, what are your plans? Do you have a plan A, B, C? These are all things that need to be talked about. And a lot of times, unfortunately, whether it's internet or cybersecurity, if you can't see it, you don't worry about it, right? Out of sight, out of mind. That's the biggest mistake. And a lot of executives don't really focus on it. And especially a lot of people, let's be honest, they don't like IT. They don't like computers. They don't like technology. Heck, half the time I want to throw my phone across the room. I totally get it. But it has to be put in place because you're not just protecting you, you're protecting your employees. And the other thing I think too is the training. You have to, before I go there, let me back up. When you put your standards in place with regards to those fire drills, which I believe they need to be quarterly, if not every 6 months, document everything. Document what your procedures are. Document what happened the first time you ran a fire drill. And what I mean by that is do not tell anyone, but maybe one executive, and I would not say the CEO. I would say maybe an IT manager knows what's about to happen. Don't tell any of the other staff. Run a fire drill. See how people act. Document everything. Work with an outside solutions provider on this, by the way, because if you do it yourself, it's probably not going to go as well planned or solidified as you would think. But document everything. And that way, when it happens, when any of these issues happen, your network gets hacked, a phishing scam, a ransomware, you've got documentation to take back to the insurance companies. Because if you don't have it documented and it happens, insurance companies, you know, just like, okay, well, when you were in that car accident, did you have car insurance? Well, no, I was a few days late on my payment. Oh, so you were not insured? Sorry, we can't fix your car. Same principle here. Same with health insurance. It's the same understanding of that. So then lastly, before I go off on any further tangent, would be the training. Train your employees. And what I can suggest with this is they fall asleep during training. This is boring stuff where they sit there and just click, click, click through every slide. They don't want to do it. Engage them. There are so many resources and vendors out there that do training, as in like gaming training, movie type training, things that would actually entertain them and engage them at the same time, or bring a provider on site face to face and get that type of training, because it's going to go along so much better for these types of situations. And ultimately, that's going to save your bottom line. It's going to highlight you as a leader and a business professional. And also, it's going to teach you some stuff.
Exactly. What would you say? Someone gets hacked. All of a sudden they walk in and they've got that ransom note. What is the first thing they should do? Let's say they don't have, they haven't done any preparation for this. They don't have a company lined up. Mm-hmm. What do they do?
There are a few different methodologies on timeframes of standards of when you should report this. I believe it's within the first 24 hours you're supposed to report it. Some people, keep in mind, not all business owners are good business owners. Sometimes people want to hide things before they publicly announce something like this has occurred, right? Timing is of the essence. And I always say report it to the authorities within 6 hours. That is the very first people you need to call. And then I would also make sure whoever your top information person is, your chief information officer, your CISO, your IT director, VP of IT, or in fact, if you don't have an IT department, your managed service provider needs to be notified immediately. So those are the first people that need to be contacted. Chances are, if you've been hacked, it more than likely means that the managed service provider has been compromised, which is going to escalate very quickly. So that would be the first thing that I think needs to happen. And then also just be sure to document everything and read our book. There's a lot of insights on what we're talking about here in this book, and just educate yourself.
That's awesome. That's great. So let's talk leadership for just our last couple minutes here and some leadership principles. So in your growth and as far as working with businesses and working with people, what would you say in everything from cybersecurity in that you've been involved with and all the other areas, as far as advice from a leadership standpoint in dealing with starting up a business or dealing with people, what would you say are some of your key takeaways that you have learned over the years?
I'm a little unorthodox, AJ. So I have a few things that I really operate out of. And, you know, working from startup companies to enterprise levels to billion-dollar portfolios, I always like to have that real people focus. I like human interaction. And being in an industry where AI is starting to take over and robots and all these things, it's interesting to say the least. But that human connection is never going to change. And I think that if I could recommend anything to any leaders out there, it's to remember these things. No matter how much money somebody has, no matter how many degrees, certifications, what families they come from, whatever, we all put our pants on the same way. And being humble, not thinking you know everything, admitting your failures, being upfront with communication. I see a lot of people playing games and chess and you know, huge level of complexities and strategies, which I understand there's a time and place for those types of things. But more often than not, the people who are really trying to make a difference can see right through that. And so as a leader, I would suggest, regardless of what route you're wanting to go, just always be yourself and don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to bump heads with other personalities. That's some of the ways you learn the most. You know, I wish I could tell you all my bosses have liked me. Unfortunately, they haven't. And I still have mad respect for all of them. I've learned a lot from each of them over the years. And hopefully they've learned a lot from me. And, you know, whether I was working in corporate with very specific, disciplined chains of command. At one point, I was reporting to an Air Force officer, COO, with Lockheed Martin, who I learned a lot from. We had nothing in common, but I learned a lot from him. To now I'm my own business owner and I'm an entrepreneur and I'm working with the best in the industry. You know, I always remember where I come from and I'm a family girl and I let that personality just shine. And it takes some years of growth through that. People get so nervous. And I always, you know, it's funny because I love to interview people like you do. I did over, I believe it was 13,000 interviews when I was doing executive headhunting over that time span. And at the end of the interview, I always found the people saying the exact same thing in a roundabout way. Did I do okay? Did that sound right? Everyone's always so in their head. And so just remember that we always tend to think it's all about us and, oh my gosh, am I doing this right? What are they going to think? When in reality, the people across the table are thinking the same thing. And so if we just lower that fear and just jump in and have fun, it's one of the best things you'll ever do as a leader. And some of the best leaders I've ever seen with regards to operating teams, having compassion, being upfront. If you can't tell certain information to your employees, explain why and be forthcoming about it, because those people will never forget how you treated them, even if you have to let them go, even if you have to make changes. I see a lot of leaders operate out of certain areas because of HR or other things. And I understand there's rules and disciplines and everything that have to be, you know, followed from a legal standpoint, but just be integrity filled. I'll stop there. That was a lot.
No, that's great. That's great. All right. I got one last question for you, just because I think this is something that a lot of our listeners would and viewers would be interested in. So you spend a lot, you know, as you mentioned, thousands of interviews that mm-hmm. you've done, interviewing for executive positions. A lot of them, I'm assuming. What would you say would be your most, the most qualifying interest that to you is like, wow, there's someone here. This is someone who could run a company. This is someone that would be great for a number of different companies out there versus the average person. What is it that sets someone apart?
That's a difficult question. I think that's in the eye of the beholder. Me personally, the most memorable interviews I've ever had, and I can't think of one or two right off the top of my head. There's several. Some of these people went on to own their own companies and make millions of dollars. Others, still entry level, working their way up the chain, whatever, what have you. Some became stay-at-home moms. The ones that really did it for me was when they were themselves. And oddly enough, they didn't talk so much about the interview questions. They just talked about their lives. They talked about who they were as a person. And especially if they don't have someone who can get them in for the interview or can refer them, because always, you know, the saying goes, who you know makes a difference to get around and get new jobs and things. So if you go into a blind interview, obviously be professional, dress for the part, but also be yourself and explain why you're excited to be there. Do not ever go into an interview without questions for the interviewee. Even if they don't give you the opportunity to ask a question, you say, before we end here, I do have a couple of questions for you, because you need to interview them just as much as they interview you. And a lot of people forget that. This is just as much about your pockets and your happiness and you fitting into the environment as much as it is for them. And I loved when people would ask me questions, because then it would say, and a lot of times, you know, they would do their research and say, hey, I saw that you know, such and such. Oh, and they already immediate check mark. Wow, I really like that they did their research. That tells me that they're already going to pay attention to maybe new projects I assign them. As also cheesy as this sounds, I cannot believe the statistics on this. Thank you letters or emails, handwritten notes, whatever, after the meeting occurs, you will always be a standout. Always. And so many, I think it's like 80 to 90% of people don't send thank you emails or thank you notes anymore, which is crazy to me, because how are you going to stand out amongst the competition, you know? Right. And I would all, and I think that just the extra mile. Now, I'm not going to, I had one person in particular who hand delivered Starbucks gift cards and all these other things after the interview, which was awesome. But honestly, we didn't go that far, but much appreciated also. But, you know, it's just truly connecting with who you are. And if you're nervous, it's okay. I had one interview, no joke, AJ, she had a full blown panic attack in the interview, broke out in hives, started crying, grabbed her laptop and just walked out. I've seen a lot. So I think it's just a matter of, if you feel comfortable enough, lower your guards a little bit, let your personality shine, and I think that'll go a long way.
That's awesome. Great advice. Great advice. Maggie, this has been a great talk. And I know we went a little bit longer today than a lot of our shows, but a lot of really good information, cybersecurity to getting started to, you know, all kinds of different subjects that we've kind of touched on a little bit. For people that want to know a little bit more about you or about Hacked 2, the book, or the other things that you're doing, where would be the best place for them to go?
I got a list for you, so I hope everyone's paying attention. Grab your pen and paper or your tablet or whatever. For the book, you can find it on Amazon, or you can also find it at the hashtag hackedbook2.com. If you would like to get in contact with me directly, the easiest way to do so would be on LinkedIn. On my profile, you'll find me, Maggie Dillon, under there. Cyberbytes information, again, the website is cyberbytesfoundation.org, bytes with a Y. Also, if you're looking for research or intelligence solutions, workshops, things of that nature, please go to crisp-llc.com. I'm the chief strategy officer there, helping Arnold Webster, our founder, really build that out. And that is on a national level. Really helping build out the education. Also, I'm going to give a plug for Albert Whale and his It's Safe product, which is itsafe.com. And if you like a social media, some people do, some people don't. You can find me on Instagram at championship_energy. So,
awesome.
There you go.
Well, thank you again, Maggie. Appreciate you being on with us. Again, this has been the Leadership Academy podcast. We're so glad that everybody's been joining us through these episodes. Again, sponsored by Titan Media Works, the easy button for getting your podcast started. You got a podcast you want to do, or maybe you want to be a guest on someone's podcast and need a booking service or an agent on that, then Titan Media Works is the ones that can help you out with that. Titan Media Works with an X, WRX.com. And they make it easy, so you don't have to worry about the learning curve or how to get things up in the cyberspace, and you just do your thing. Again, thank you so much, and we will see everybody next time on the Leadership Academy.
Thank you.